I'd like to speak today regarding our walk with God. And if you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles today to Genesis chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 5. And while you're turning there, the story is told of a king who placed a stone in the road, and then he hid by the side of the road and watched who would remove it. And men of various classes, they would come by and they worked their way around the stone in the road, and some would loudly blame the king for putting it there and not keeping the highways clear. All of them would do everything but dodge the duty of getting the stone out of the road. And alas, this poor peasant came by on his way to town, and his burden of carrying his vegetables for sale on his way to town, and he came upon this stone in the road, and he was contemplating the stone, and he laid down his load of vegetables and rolled the stone off the road and into the gutter. And then when he turned around to pick up his load of vegetables, he noticed that this purse was in the middle of the road where the stone had lain, and he went over there and he opened it up and he found out it was full of gold pieces with a note in it from the king saying it was for the one who should remove the stone out of the road. And under every obstacle, our king has a hidden blessing. We can turn back from the cross or go around it, but we are eternal losers if we do. We can't dodge the cross without dodging God's blessing. And we can't refuse the cross without endangering our crown. Obstacles and hindrances are always in front of us, but never let it stop us from getting our blessing. Speaking about a blessing, let's find out about a man who was blessed in his walk with God in Genesis chapter 5, in verse 22 through 24. We read about a man named Enoch. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It didn't say Enoch died, it just said he walked with God right on all the way up with God, for God took him. And then if you turn over with Deuteronomy chapter 5, and then verse 32 of Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says, "So you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you should may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." So I want to share with you a message today about our walk with Christ. And, you know, all that God had ever wanted to do with you and I is just to walk with us. He's not really interested in just a Sunday morning relationship. He wants to daily walk with us. That's why in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 it said that God came down in the cool of the day and they heard the sound of God walking in the Garden of Eden, coming to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And that's how he started. He made us because he wanted a daily walk with us. And if we're not careful, we can become so experience-oriented that we become so relationship-minimized that it's all about what happens on a Sunday, that we forget that God wants a relationship with us and not just mountaintop experiences. That's why in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says that if you wait on the Lord, you shall mount up with wings as eagles, you will run and not be weary, and then you'll walk. You know, it's wonderful when you soar, or when you're in one of those seasons, and when you're mounting up with wings as eagles, and everything's going your way, and everything's soaring, and everybody loves to soar, don't they? people want to know kind of what's going on in your life. What's your secret? And then there are those seasons when you're running, and you're running with determination, and you're busy, and everybody's cheering. And you know, everybody loves to cheer runners. People salute runners for what you're doing. And you watch the Olympics, and they come into the Coliseum when they march in there, and they're carrying the torch. And everybody's cheering the runners because they're getting ready to run the race. You've seen them. And everybody's all excited. But you know, nobody cheers walkers. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's not exciting. It's not really a big deal when you see a walker. They don't really have that in the Olympics, I don't think. But you've seen them. I've seen them. How many of you have seen those precious senior citizens? I mean, Granny puts on her white tennis shoes on with those Velcro straps, and then she goes to walking through the mall. And, you know, she's exercising. But you never really see any of those grandstands. You never see any a lot of those people gathered around by the Chick-fil-A stands, clapping and cheering her on, saying, you know, that a girl, go get him, Granny. You know, you don't see a lot of those. Nobody cheers walkers. We cheer runners, and we cheer soarers, and people who fly, but we just don't cheer walkers. But why does Granny walk, though? Because she has an appointment with a man that's going to check the condition of her heart. And nobody knows whether she's walking or not, except for the man that's going to check the condition of her heart. And if she's been walking every day, and every day, and every day walking, it's going to show up by the condition of her heart that when that doctor goes to meet her with that appointment. And how many of you know that every one of us in here has an appointment one day with God? And He's not going to be interested in just what you did in those soaring times when everything was good. But He's going to be interested on what happened on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. Did you walk with God? You know, it's not just all about a Sunday experience. It's not just all about what happens when you come to church. It's not all about just what happens after this experience. Do you walk with Him? Do you talk with Him? Is He a vital part of your family? Is He the very atmosphere of who you are and what you're about? Nobody will really know if you're walking with God except for God on that day. So, number one, I want to say that it's very important to walk with God. And number two is Satan hates, absolutely hates, when you walk with God. He hates it. He doesn't get disturbed if you get a blessing on Sunday. And you go high, and you run for a little season, and then you get weary. That doesn't bother Him a bit. You can get all those you want. But the deal that really bothers Him is when he sees someone putting one foot in front of the other, day after day after day. And whatever hits them, they just keep walking. By faith and not by sight. Walking and praying and reading the Word and being a servant and being obedient and servanthood. God really hates that. Or the enemy really hates that. But God blesses that. The devil would really love to stop your walk with God. But how does he do that? How does the enemy stop your walk with God in that area? Peter Jenkins wrote a book in 1973 called A Walk Across America. And it became a bestseller because he had an unbelievable experience. He walked 5,000 miles all the way across America. He worked jobs, and it took him about 5 years to do it. He carried about a 70-pound backpack across him, and he walked through the Appalachian Trail, and he walked through the New Orleans, he walked through West Texas, he walked through the Rocky Mountains. He made it through blizzards. He walked through 120-degree heat in the desert. He was attacked by animals. He was attacked by dogs. He was bitten by snakes. He was walking and he was hit by a car. His dog that was with him got hit by a car, ran over, and he was mugged 3 times. He was stabbed 1 time. He was cheated. You name it, this guy, Peter Jenkins, he went through it all. And they asked him a question. What in all of your experiences in the 120-degree heat in the desert and in the blizzards that you went through on the other side of those extremes, all of those things that came against him, what was the greatest thing that made you closest to giving up and stopping your walk? And you know what he said? He said, "You're not going to believe it." He said, "Sand in my shoes." I mean, I thought he was going to say, "When the car hit me," or "When my dog got ran over." I mean, some of those things that. But he said, "The thing that almost made me quit was when I would get grains of sand in my shoes. And in some places, I would walk for weeks and have to camp out, and I couldn't get any more shoes, couldn't get any brand new shoes. And that sand, what it would do, it would just grind. And that little sand, it would get in there and grind. And it was just a little thing. It wasn't the big things. And it wasn't the huge things. It was just the little grains of sand that would grind in there." And you know, the same is true in our walk with God. It's not the big things, it's the little things. It's not that many people will stop walking with God because they get a bad doctor's report. Matter of fact, they start walking closer when they get one of those. And it's not the big things such as, "Oh, we lost this," or "One of my family members died." Every once in a while, somebody may get bitter at God over something like that. But it's not usually the big things that mess people up. It's not the big things like some huge sin of adultery or some crazy thing like that, but it's just the little grains of sand that nobody can see that gets in their spiritual shoes, the pain and the hurt that nobody sees, the disappointment, the discouragement, the worry, the fear. It begins to get at you and it begins to hinder your walk. You know, it's one thing if it's little and if it's no big thing, but because it's not that big, it begins to affect your walk. It's the little hurts that wear on us. It's the daily work that we're so good at putting a plastic face on. And when people ask you, "How you doing?" and you quickly respond with, "Oh, I'm awesome, brother. I'm doing good." But when we see you, you're walking away with a limp. And anything that affects your walk is important. And I don't care how little it is. It's the little things, the daily worry. It's the little grains. Did you know that the power of sand can strip the paint right off of a car? It's the little offenses, the little situations that happened to us. And they begin to pile up more and more and more. And that sand begins to grind and it begins to hinder our walk. It wasn't the heat. It wasn't the cold. It was the sand that began to get him. And it's the same as true of us. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 42 verse 10. And listen to David. He said, it was like a sword in my bones. What was? When he began to say daily, "Where is your God? I thought your family was going to become saved. Has your family become saved yet? Where is your God? How many years have you been praying for him to become saved? Where is your God?" Daily he would hear stuff like that, David says. It was like a sword in my bones. when they would say, "Where is your God? Hey, I thought you were going to believe for healing. Hey, you're not healed yet. Where is your God?" It's not that one time. It's daily. It's when you deal with something and it just won't leave you alone. And it's when God doesn't take it away instantly. And it's just grinding and grinding. And people don't see it. It's a private situation because it's like sand in your shoe. And it's not easy to be seen by all. If it was something big, then people would know about it and they would be able to help you. But many Christians have sand in their shoe and it's hindering their word. And it's those little things, the little grains of where is your God daily. They would say, "Where is your God? Why hasn't this happened? Where is your God?" I mean, isn't that what happened to Samson? He got sand in his shoes. In Judges chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible said that Delilah kept pressing him daily. "Sleep with me. Sleep with me." Daily tempting him. And that's what happens when you get sand in your shoes. It's a temptation. And you're trying to do good. Trying to be good. And you get that sand and the enemy begins to press on you. Daily. Daily. Why don't you compromise? Why? And then it begins to affect your walk. That's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. When he listed all of his troubles that he went through. He talks about his labors that he went through. He says, "I got beaten by stripes. I was shipwrecked. I was beaten with rods. I was stoned." It's awful. And all the perils that Paul went through while he was in the country and in the city, trouble everywhere, problem after problem, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst. That's big stuff, but that's not what really got him. The Bible says, "Besides this, other things which came upon me daily." There's that word again. Daily. There's a deep concern for the burden of the church today. And sometimes the burdens of life. And it's that daily thing of sand in our shoe. Jesus said, "Come unto me if you're weary." If you've got sand in your shoes, if you're tired, if you're under pressure, if you're under stress, if you don't know what to do, if you don't know where to turn, if you feel like it's hard to put one foot in front of the other to keep going, it's that daily thing that the enemy tries to destroy us. That's what happened to Moses in chapter 18 of Exodus. In the 18th chapter, his father-in-law said to Moses, he said, "Moses, surely you're going to wear yourself away. It's the pressure that's on you that's going to cause you to wear yourself out." And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants to put some sand in our spiritual shoes. Some hurt. Some disappointment. Some fear. Some worry. Some kind of pressure that's there daily. And he just keeps it in there. And it begins to hinder our walk. And it wears us out. You wear out systematically and he wears you down. Psalm 73, verse 2, David said, "I finally reached the place. As for me, my feet were almost gone." The sand had gotten in David's shoes so bad, he said, that my feet, I almost lost my walk. The scripture says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's not the bear. It's not the lion. It's not the wolf that kills the sheep. It's just the little fox that nibbles and nibbles. It's those little things that get in our walk. Those little things like we just begin to lose our hunger for the Word. It's no big deal if I don't read it. It's this daily thing. I know it needs to happen. But it's not this big deal if I don't have time for a prayer, a place of prayer maybe. You just start to lose your concern for people maybe. I go to church on Sunday. We have this meet and greet thing. I hug people. That'll kind of keep me in check. But it's the grains of sand that, It's seemingly those little things like, oh, I didn't read the word today, or I didn't pray for anybody today. But before you know it, they'll start hindering your walk. I didn't pray today. I can do it another day or another day. And before you know it, you've got sand in your shoes. And it's hard to walk for God. And it's hard to walk in faith. And it's hard not to let the fear and pressure and worries of life, of anxiety, start to take over you. What's happening? Why am I feeling insecure? Why am I feeling this way? Start to all of a sudden happen to you, and the next thing you know, you look down and you've got sand in your shoe. Because again, nothing that is little, nothing is little if it affects your walk. So, if God wants to walk with you, and if the devil hates to see you walk with God, and the way he wants to stop you is to not use the big things. You see, the reason the people fall for a lot of big things is they get sand in their shoes, and the sand wears them down. And then all of a sudden, in a moment of weakness, when they're worn down, they do something crazy that turns into a big thing. Have you ever noticed this about sand? That it's almost impossible to get sand off of your feet or out of your shoes. I mean, it is. It's just crazy. When Adam and I went to Guatemala on a trip with Jack and Haley and Megan, we got some sand on a beach down there one day when we went down there. They took us to the beach down there, and Adam and I were the only two silly ones enough to venture out into the roaring ocean. And all we did was step out 10 feet into the water, and the next thing we know, the waves just suck us in the ocean. I don't know if it was a riptide or what it was, but we were just going to wade out there just to say we actually got in the ocean. And that thing just sucked us out in there, and for the next 10 minutes, we were in the ocean, not by choice. We tried crawling out to the shore, and as soon as we almost got out, that thing would just drag us out and suck us right back in. And that thing just turned us sideways, upside down, every which way but loose. And by the time we were finally able to crawl out, it was like we were stuck in a washing machine cycle on spin cycle for about 10 minutes. And for the rest of the day, we were finding sand in places in our body where we didn't know things could go. And it was crazy. Sand has a magnetic force. And once it gets in there, it's almost impossible to get out unless you wash real good. And in Guatemala, they only have hot showers on Dr. Pepper time, and that's 10, 2, and 4. And cold showers aren't any fun for getting sand off, especially when it's in places that you didn't know existed. So, or maybe you've gone to the beach, and maybe you've got sand on your foot, and you try to wash sand off on your foot, and as soon as you put your foot down, and the other one's dirty, it's the same one's dirty again. Sand is like a magnet. By the time you have one foot clean, it seems like the sand has moved to the other foot. It's almost aggravating. The same thing as when you get sand in your shoes. That grinding feeling that you get, it's just not a good feeling. It's an uncomfortable feeling. The same for our lives. It's the hurt, the disappointment, the worry, the fear, and the discouragement. It's just, you're not able to focus and enjoy life because you just have that in the background, just grinding there. You just can't enjoy life. You can't get it off either, it seems like. There's nothing you can do that'll make it a stop, that makes it able to get it off, because it's just so hard to get off of your foot. But here's a thought. Jesus never designed for you to wash your own feet. Now Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, you come to me. You bring me all the stuff that's piling up in your life and stressing you out and worrying yourself silly and stealing your sleep and making you wake up in the middle of the night and worrying about what your future holds. And by the way, that's not the voice of the Holy Spirit that wakes you up in the middle of the night worrying like that. That's putting fear on you and putting worry on you about your future. But Jesus is standing there with a towel and a water basin, and he's saying, Are you stressed out and can't get rid of it? Bring it to me. Let me wash your feet. Are you heavy laden? Do you not know what you're going to do? Do you not know what you're going to and where to turn? Bring it to me and let me wash your feet. Let me wash away that anxiety, that depression. Let me wash it away. And then all I ask, and Jesus would say, after I wash you and after I wash your feet, is that you turn around and find somebody else that's just as stressed and has just as much sand in your shoes as you had, and you let them know that you can't quit, that you can't give up. I refuse to let you quit. You're not going to stop this walk. You've got to keep on walking by faith. So let me wash your feet, because I've been there. I've been where you are, and God knows where you are, and He loves you. And here's the beauty about the body of Christ, and here's the beauty about the church and of the church. It's so beautiful that when Jesus washes you and He cleanses your feet, and I promise to you that He can remove the dirt of pain and of offense, of depression, of anxiety and of hurt and of worry, all this stuff that just kind of builds up and starts to bog us down in our walk. He says, when I do that for you, I'm going to send people your way. And there's some in this room today. And some of you feel like, I just can't take it anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can hardly put one foot in front of the other. And we can put our plastic smiles on and we can say, I'm fine. But the truth is there are people hurting. And their shoes filled with sand. And they don't know if they can keep on going. And all I want to say is that Jesus is saying to you today is bring it to Him and let Him wash you. And then you can turn around and wash your brothers and sisters' feet that are struggling. And those of you who have made it through, you need to be their foot washer. You need to help them get their sand out that they can't handle by themselves. You need to be their encourager. You know what a beautiful service we had during our Easter season on our Monday, Thursday foot washing service, when Pastor Adam and Pastor Helen and I did the foot washing. It wasn't well attended. And I'm sure many of you felt very uncomfortable because it was the first time ever that we ever tried this. But for those of you that came, it was a special time because not everyone feels comfortable coming to church and exposing their bare feet to their pastors, much less let them wash them. Because it's a time of vulnerability and not everybody feels comfortable being vulnerable. But maybe it's possible, spiritually this morning speaking, that there's people on you that have sand on their feet. And we don't have to have a pail of water or basin or anything like that. But could it be spiritually that you could get such a burden for you beside yourself and that you could wash their feet, spiritually speaking? That the feet of that husband who's so stressed out, or that wife that's just at her wits' end with those kids, with the homework and cleaning and crazy schedules and so much stress to carry. Sometimes we just go through the weekend and we just kind of do church. And then we go right back into that empty life. And that really doesn't have the kind of walk with Jesus that we need. And so what happens is the sand, it just keeps piling up and piling up. But there needs to be some services where we need to stop everything and say, Lord, we need to get in your presence and let you wash us. And then we need to wash another's feet spiritually. We're not going to give up. because God has hope for you today, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So again, I'd like to remind you of our scripture today. So you shall observe to do just as the Lord God your commanded has commanded you, that you shall not turn aside to the right nor to the left, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. When you stop chasing the wrong things, you give the right things a chance to catch up with you. When will that time be? Take a look at Tim and the sand that he had in his shoes.
My name is Tim, and Jesus loves me just the way I am. Even though sometimes I don't believe it, even to this day, Satan can sometimes snatch my joy, and I can fall to believing that God is dependent upon my performance and not anything else. I became a Christian in 1972, and basically I did all the right things, I thought, to please God, because I didn't feel He could love me just by being Tim Moore. So I continued in that mode for a number of years. I was married, I had a son who I loved dearly. Everything was going fine. I was had a good job, and I had a home. And then in 1985, I think it started to deteriorate. Following the rules, it just didn't make sense. I was doing a lot of stuff for Jesus, but I didn't feel like He was doing a lot for me. And I ended up experiencing a lot of things that I said I would never do. I said I would never drink again when I got saved in 72, and I ended up in rehab in 1987. I said I would never get divorced, and I ended up divorced in 1990. I said I would never smoke again, and I started smoking. And I just, I was not the person that I wanted to be, and I was not the person that God wanted me to be, I'm sure. In 1999, things really came to a head when my son died. It was a freak accident. He fell out of a window, and I didn't hear about his death until probably a few days after he had died, because I had been estranged due to the divorce. And so I was pretty much my wife and I had found a church. We were going to church, doing all the right things again, but it just didn't feel right. Things were just not the way I thought they should be. And I didn't feel God's love. I didn't feel the joy in my spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit calling me out of that church, kind of like Abraham when he was called out of Ur. And God said, it's time to go. He didn't say where. He just said, it's time to go. In my journey since I left that church, I found myself at Ecclesia. Going to Ecclesia, I found Life Care, and the people and things at Life Care, that I've been able to deal with some things. And then I found myself led to a thing called Edge Venture, which was a men's retreat, and I didn't know I was even going to this men's retreat until 2 days before they were having it. And generally, they were sold out, and for some reason, they had a spot for me. And I just, my wife was going to be out of town, and I just decided, well, hey, why not? I don't have anything to lose. And so I ended up there tossing a whole lot of junk that I had been carrying around for years and which had helped hinder my relationship with Jesus. I found the joy of the Lord in my heart again. Like David in the 51st Psalm, when he was talking about being restored and having that joy back again. And I just fell in love with Jesus again. And, I just really love Jesus with all my heart. I am Tim, and Jesus loves me just the way I am. And I am a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen. As we stand today, it's all about becoming restored and falling in love with Jesus again in your daily walk. you've got sand in your shoes, dump it out. Let Him wash your feet. Let Him clean your feet. Let Him restore you. Today, as we come, I don't know what's on your mind, what's on your heart. But Jesus says, come unto me, you are weary or heavy laden. Take my yoke, for my burden is light. Let Him minister today so that you can minister to others. As we sing. That whenever your feet do become weary, that you would go to Him and get them washed, but also keep them. As brothers and sisters, watch out for each other. And if you see someone walking that's weary, offer to clean their feet. Offer to clean their feet. Sand is hard to get off. It sticks to your feet. As brothers and sisters in Christ, it's kind of our job to help each other clean our feet. Jesus gave the example to that when He called us friend. Father, we just praise Your holy name. And we thank You for the blessings that You bestowed upon us. We ask for Your guidance. Let us be Your light this week. Reveal to us people that we can help. People that we can wash their feet. People that we can encourage and help them keep the faith. To tell them to not give up, but hang in there. Help us, Father, show compassion and mercy to those that need it. We love You, Father. Protect us. Guide us. Give us favor. Teach us obedience. Increase our faith. We pray in Your holy name. Amen.